And then we go on in Mark chapter 1, verse 39. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. He did two things. He preached and he cast out demons. He didn't just preach. He preached and he dealt with the people's problems. Now, when God brought me into this ministry for quite a while, for 2 or 3 years at least, I was doing exactly that all around America. I was preaching and casting out demons. And I was not embarrassed because I can't improve on Jesus. The best I can do is to do as much as he did. So I want you to understand, this is a regular part of the Christian ministry. It's a regular part of the ministry of Jesus. It's not something extreme or fanatical. It's just doing what Jesus did the way he did it. Let's look for also in Mark, in Luke 13 for a moment, verses 31 and 32. On that very day, some Pharisees came to Jesus, saying, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he, Jesus, said to them, "Go tell that fox," that's Herod. And he was not really too polite in some respects. "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." In other words, Jesus said, all through my earthly ministry, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to cast out demons, and I'm going to heal the sick. He started that way, he continued that way, and he concluded that way. That is the pattern of the earthly ministry of Jesus. I personally have no ambition to improve on it. If I can do even a small part of what he did, I'll be satisfied. Now, there's a very important significance about this particular ministry of casting out demons. If you read the Old Testament, I think you'll find that almost all the miracles that were performed in the New were performed in the Old. They raised the dead, they healed the sick, they fed multitudes. But there's one thing they never did. They never cast out demons. You cannot find an example of it anywhere in the Old Testament. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28, Jesus said, "And if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." So his casting out of demons was a distinctive sign that the kingdom of God had come. It was a miracle that was not performed, as far as we know, in the Old Testament. It's a distinctive declaration: the kingdom of God has come. And really, the casting out demons is war between two kingdoms: the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. And Jesus demonstrated the victory of the kingdom of God by casting out demons. Now, let's read the instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, we can't go into the background, we don't have time. But he said this: "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So Jesus said you've got to do four things: heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That was part of their total ministry. Everywhere they went. Now you say, "Brother Prince, have you seen the dead raised?" The answer is, yes, I have. In East Africa, when I was principal of a college for training African teachers, two of my students died and were raised from the dead. And they each gave a very interesting testimony of what happened to their spirit when it was out of their body and what happened when the spirit returned to their body. I just say that because some people say, "Well, people don't raise the dead." The answer is, people do raise the dead. They don't raise all the dead, but they raise the dead when it's God's purpose that the dead should be raised. All right, so let's take those instructions once more. Verses 7 and 8. "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." However, it is not enough to preach. You have to demonstrate the validity of what you're preaching. So Jesus says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Four things. One of them is casting out demons. And then in Mark 16, at the end of the gospel record, Jesus gave final instructions after his resurrection to all who were to go out and preach the gospel. Mark 16, beginning at verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow or accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Let's stop there. How many have heard about speaking with new tongues? Everybody here. It's a very popular subject. But how many have heard about casting out demons? How many have seen it practiced? Praise God, you're a rather exceptional congregation. But I want to point out, the first supernatural sign was not speaking with tongues, was casting out demons. You see, we have kind of gaps in our theology and our practice. We do some of the things and not others. But the way Jesus told us to do it is the right way. Now let's consider how they obeyed. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. He had sent out 70 or 72 to prepare the way before him. Then they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." That was the thing that excited them most. You see, that was the new thing. Healing was not new. Miraculous provision was not new. But to have authority over demons in the name of Jesus, that was exciting. And Jesus said to them, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now I want to emphasize that here tonight because we're going to go into action later on. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do not get frightened. Demons have no power against a true believer who understands his rights. And then one of the most interesting examples is in Acts chapter 8. How many of you know that there's only one person in the New Testament who is actually called an evangelist? Do you know that? Do you know who he is? Philip, that's right. He's the only person who is actually designated an evangelist. And his ministry is described in Acts chapter 8. Therefore, you can say, his ministry is the pattern ministry of the evangelist. And it says in Acts 8, verse 5, "Then Philip went down to a city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." I'm so glad he didn't have complicated theology. He preached Christ. An evangelist's message is very simple. In Samaria, he preached Christ. When he met the eunuch later on the road to Gaza, he preached Jesus. That's an evangelist's message. Christ, Jesus. "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Now, Philip didn't have a committee. He didn't have a sponsoring church. He didn't have an auditorium. He didn't have a trained choir. I mean, all those things are good, but they're not essential. What's essential is preach the gospel with signs following. And you will always get a crowd. You don't have to invest in all the expense of an auditorium or a choir or all that. I had a young friend, an African friend in East Africa who was an evangelist. And he said, "Brother Prince, there's no problem about getting a crowd in Africa." He said, "I walk into a village and ask how many sick people are in the village. They bring them, I pray for them, they're healed, and I get my crowd." He said, "I don't have to do anything more." That is New Testament evangelism. I'm not criticizing other ways of doing it, but they're more elaborate and they're more expensive. Emma. All right, we're going on then. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ, or the Messiah, to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. What attracted the crowd? In one word, miracles. That's right. Miracles are not optional. They're not accessories. They're an essential part of the ministry of evangelism. And I emphasize again, there's only one person actually titled an evangelist in the whole New Testament. It's Philip. If he isn't a pattern, we don't have a pattern. Now, what kind of miracles happen? Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were, it says possessed, but that's wrong, who were demonized. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So that is the ministry of the evangelist. It's to preach Christ, the Messiah, it's to preach Jesus, a message attested by supernatural signs, healing the sick, and casting out demons, and you'll get your crowd. I mean, it never fails. You may get opposition too, but that's part of the whole package deal. But I want you to notice that they did not maintain an atmosphere of solemn dignity in their meetings. I grew up in the Anglican Church, and I mean, there are many things I respect in the Anglican Church, but you kind of tiptoed into church. You sat down quietly, you didn't raise your voice, nobody did anything very unusual, it was all very sedate and nicely ordered. And all those people that came in their nice Sunday costumes, they said these beautiful words. I mean, the Anglican prayer book has got some of the most beautiful spiritual words. But as a boy, watching them and listening to what they said, as they walked out of church, I asked myself, did they really believe what they were saying? I couldn't answer the question. I remember thinking to myself, you know, this dignified lady here, if she dropped her lace handkerchief and I ran after her and picked it up, she'd be more excited about getting her handkerchief back than she was about all the things she said in the liturgy. So I just wanted to point out there's dignity and dignity. There's religious dignity, which is often a cover-up for demons. I mean, I was in a meeting, and this grieves me tremendously. I was in a meeting of a very well-known American evangelist. If I gave you her name, everybody would know it. She was, to some extent, a little while, a friend of mine. But in one of her meetings, a black woman began to demonstrate very clearly demon activity. And you know what they did? Two men came, caught her by the arms, and carried her out. And that's all they did. That's a tragedy. She desperately needed the ministry of the evangelist. But the evangelist was afraid it would upset her reputation. People wouldn't come to her meetings. I think she was wrong. I think more people would have come, actually. I respect her. She's with the Lord now. But it always remained in my memory, this desperate black woman crying out for help, couldn't contain herself, and was dumped. That's all they did with her. They just put her out. When I dealt with a demon in one woman in a church, one of the church ladies came up to me and said, Brother Prince, you know what they'd have done in most churches? They would have said, our sister needs help. Will one of the deacons take her down to the basement? That's not the biblical solution. She needs help, but not in the basement.